Mama says her girl's going to have a different life, a better life. No sewing fancy clothes for snooty ladies with high manners and low opinions of folks who make their livings with their hands. No, sir. I'm smart, and I'm pretty, bright-eyed, and fair-skinned, with hair like smooth black glass. No reason to settle for Mama's kind of life, and when Mama makes up her mind, that's all. I try to talk her out of it right up to the time the bus pulls into the station. I say I'll find work in the quarter, bring home a little money. I say things will get better. She gives my arm a little jerk and shakes her head again. There's a path for you, she says, with her chin stuck out. And it isn't in New Orleans, and it isn't with any of the go-nowhere boys chasing around after your skirts. There's a whole wide world out there, little girl, and you're meant for it. What's wrong with the world we have right now? I ask, then look away. I already know her answer. I've been hearing it since I was old enough to listen, and maybe even before that. I'm not going to turn out like Mama, not going to make the same mistakes, not going to throw my life away on some man who can't or won't look after me. I wish sometimes that Mama had chosen a better man when she picked my daddy. It seems he had a lot of shortcomings, and that I'm always the one paying for them. I hold my lips stiff as the bus door swings open and ignore the sting behind my eyes. No looking back. Mama chokes and gives me one last breathless squeeze. No looking back, ever. And then the door closes and the bus jerks away from the curb and I'm all on my own. We haven't gone a mile, and already my heart bleeds for home, and I start to think this might be the second biggest mistake Mama ever made, my daddy being the first. I've never really believed in fairy tales. Watching Mama's heart break by inches over the years has worked on me like a vaccine, so I'm not expecting a castle or happily ever after. But when I first catch sight of Gavin, North Carolina, all I can think of is getting back on that bus. How could anyone live in this place, this merciless place of scorched red earth and brown horizons, fields stripped bare as Pharaoh's Egypt, as if the God of Exodus himself had smitten the land for its sins? There's a world out there, and I'm meant for it. Mama said so. But this can't be what she meant, this baked ground with its stubbled fields. My feet move only because I know this is just one leg of my journey. Eventually, when I've set a little money by, I'll leave and make my way to Mama's people in Chicago, finish school, and become a teacher or maybe a nurse. I reach the house straight from the station, wilted and hungry, my neck sticky under the collar of my new dress, my hair crushed flat as a sparrow's nest. Even my hat is a shambles, my violets lost somewhere along the way. I can hardly believe my eyes when I finally see the place, spanking white and set way up high, looking out over all that green grass. There's lots of shutters and four white columns and a porch across the front. I make myself go up on that front porch and bang the shiny knocker. A man answers, wearing a vest and tie. His shirt is crunchy with starch. His mouth looks starched, too, while his eyes skim me from top to bottom. He tries to hide what he's thinking as he shows me into a fancy parlor with brocade curtains and a green velvet settee. He doesn't offer his name or any refreshment, and there's something in his eyes that makes me queasy as he points me toward the settee, as if he's almost sorry for me. I'm to sit quietly, he tells me in his starchy voice, and wait for the missus. The missus leaves me sitting in her parlor a full 20 minutes. It's a long time to wait when you're someplace you don't want to be, someplace you don't belong. I run my eyes around the room, all glossy and spotless. There's not a speck of dust on anything except me.